do me a favor and bring that easel up for me? And I'm going to tell you up front that sometimes the top flops down and hits you in the head. So it's not a trick. I asked somebody to do it a couple weeks ago, and it flopped down their head, and they felt kind of silly, and I felt bad for them. So I just didn't want. Actually, that happened to Randy, but I wasn't thinking of you. There's a teenager who I'm not sure has recovered from that. So, yeah. We're going to talk for the next couple of weeks about dealing with difficult people in our lives. And today we're going to talk about when someone criticizes us or is critical with us. And I'm pretty certain that there isn't a person in the room who hasn't received criticism. And honestly, there's probably none of us that haven't given it, and maybe even unfairly, or said stuff that we shouldn't have said. This is something that you and I deal with on a regular basis. We, as hard as we try, we will not be exempt from criticism, and we know this because Jesus wasn't. Jesus was criticized for all kinds of things. Jesus was called a friend of sinners. He was called a drunkard. He was accused of working on the Sabbath. And in a label that probably none of you have ever received, he was accused of being a son of the devil. So I said that in one of the services, and somebody said, I was called a spawn of Satan once. Does that count? I was like, whoa, who are you hanging with? You know? And there are many reasons why this is important to us. One of them is that we were given a mission by Jesus. The older I get, the more simple life needs to be for me to really get it and do it. And so in Luke, I think 10, Jesus is asked by a lawyer, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what does the Bible say? And the man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus then said, you've answered rightly. And this is really our mission. Our mission in life is to love God. It's four words. Love God and love others. Even the Great Commission ultimately comes from this. It's not hard to lose sight of that in the midst of life, and especially in human interactions. We can lose sight of the fact that this is our mission. The truth of the matter is that when you and I receive criticism, even if it's true and just and right what's being said about us, we respond to that criticism emotionally. Usually, we respond in a way that does not help us stay on our mission. How many of you, when you've been criticized, have been like, this really pushes me to love Jesus more. This really pushes me to love you more. And the people around me. As a matter of fact, everybody's going to have a better day because you've just criticized me. No, in fact, it's just the opposite, right? Criticism usually distracts us from our mission. It takes us off course. I heard a teaching this past week that I want to share with you. It's a video teaching, and if you kill the lights in just a second, he talks about the importance of understanding distraction to our mission and how we respond to that. So if you'll watch this with me.
Mission. Now I want to show you how precarious completing the mission can be. Our training center is located in Orlando, Florida. And by the way, if you'll just let me do this, I want to just say a big hello. Mission. Now, I want to show you how precarious completing the mission can be. Our training center is located in Orlando, Florida. And by the way, if you'll just let me do this, I want to just say a big hello to my brothers and sisters at Discovery Church in Orlando, Florida, because I do know them so well. I lived there for quite some time. So our center's in Orlando. Some time ago, we had four athletes from the National Football League come to our center. Now, I understand for our international audience, this is not football as you know it. soccer, as we know it, is their football. But everybody's seen American football played. These were monster men. The average size was 6'4", just under 2 meters. 300 pounds, 136 kilograms. One of them, a monster of a man. 350 pounds, 159 kilograms. He was in our fitness center in Orlando. I called him over to me. Now, he's about this tall. I looked up and I said, tell me what goes on in your mind when you look up from the offensive line and you see someone from the opposing team running right back to you. He looked down at me and he said, I'm going to fold him in half. Okay. Well, we told these four monster men in the NFL that we had a mission for them. There's a wilderness trail that goes behind our property. It goes toward the airport in Orlando. And your mission is to run out this trail. You're to run a 9-minute mile. At the 1-mile marker, there's a white fence that comes out to the trail. Your mission is to touch the white fence and then run back in 9 minutes, 18 minutes total. They said that's all we have to do is touch the white fence. That's it. Just touch the white fence. That's it. They said, okay. So they sat down, they started putting their running shoes on. Now we have rules of engagement. Gentlemen, you're going to be running through the swamp. There's a canal that runs by this trail. Alligator migrate in and out of this canal. Keep your eyes open. And gentlemen, it's sunny outside. Poisonous snakes will be sunning themselves on the trail. Now they won't bother you, but if you see a snake coiled up, steer clear and go around it. They got to the front door. We had our stopwatches ready. Oh, guys, sorry, we forgot to tell you. Just yesterday, we sighted some wild boar out there. Now, these wild pigs, gentlemen, are bigger than you are. They have razor-sharp tusks, and they will attack you unprovoked. So if you encounter a wild boar, you must take appropriate action. But above all else, gentlemen, you must, what, everybody, in the face of the storm, complete the mission. What's the mission? Touch the white fence. Ready? Go! So they took off. I want you to get this mental picture because two of our team members were hiding in the bushes. Here are these big mammoth men in the NFL jogging down this dirt road in the tropics. They're looking around. They hear the bugs. One of our team members leaned over, grabbed a small bush and went. We had a video camera. Would you like to see the tape? Here's what you're looking at now. Let's come back to the model that we're going to present to you today. Here's what you're looking at. You are looking at what happens to a human being when confronted by a storm for which they are not prepared. Let's run the tape, please. They showed up. We go, welcome back. You touched the white fence?
No.
No? Why not?
We heard something.
What do you mean you heard something? And then they actually stuttered. There was a wild boar in the bushes. Then we showed them the tape. They were mortified. But what drives this home is what happened the very next week. The very next week, and I don't have this tape because these gentlemen cannot have their faces photographed in any way whatsoever. But we had four elite team members of the FBI SWAT program. And we did the same thing with them. The mission is what, everybody? Touch the white fence. Got to do it in 18 minutes. Watch out for the alligator. Watch out for the snakes. Watch out for the wild boar. If you encounter a wild boar, you must take appropriate action, but above all else, complete the mission. They took off. Our two team members were hiding in the same spot. Grabs the same bush. This is what the FBI did. A guy holding the camera went, "What if they brought their guns?" Now, this teaches us two things. One, you will respond to any storm the way you train. You will respond to any storm the way you train. The second thing is, if you access the wrong emotion, even the simplest mission is impossible to reach. Because what's the difference in these football players and these FBI agents? It's all training. It's all how we live our life. And I will tell you right now, it's multidimensional training. It's physical, it's emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual. We're going to go into that in much greater depth. How often, by the way, are there wild boars shaking the bushes?
The mission for those fellows running was simple. It was touch the white fence. What is our mission? Love God and love others. And how many times are we headed down the path of our day and we encounter someone or something that distracts us from our mission? And we become overcome to the point where we are so overwhelmed by our response that we forget all about touching the finish line. Our typical reactions when people are critical are either anger, denial, or depression. We get angry and so we put on the boxing gloves. You're going to be critical with me? Bring it on. That brings us closer to our mission, right? No. Not generally. How about denial, running away? That brings us closer to our mission, right? How about sitting home depressed because somebody hurt our feelings? Does that bring us closer to our mission? No. But because we've done those things over and over and over again, that's how we've trained ourselves to respond. So, when something unexpected happens, how do we respond? The same way we've trained ourselves to respond. The same way. But, when we're done and we look back, how well did our response help the overall situation? And how well did we feel when we were done? Not well. And what this means to us, and what the scripture is going to suggest, is that we have to retrain ourselves to respond in a different way to people who are difficult, and specifically this morning, to when we receive criticism. Because none of us likes criticism. And when we receive it, most of the time, it causes a surge in our adrenaline, our blood pressure goes up, our heart starts beating faster, and we just have some kind of response to that. And learning to respond to that, retraining ourselves, is not easy. It's hard for all of us. So I want to talk this morning about how to do this. And the first thing that I want to suggest to you, and I'm not sharing this with you because I've mastered it. I'm sharing this with you because I'm retraining. It's this. We have to learn when we're talking about criticism today. We'll talk about other things later. When we receive criticism, to access God fast. And here's why. I go over to the elementary school all the time because I have two kids over there. So I drop them off. And from time to time, I eat lunch over there. So this past week, I was having lunch with one of my children, and a bunch of kids walked past me. They all, Pastor Andrew, Pastor, I don't know who half of them are. Right? Now, this didn't happen, but if I was walking out, and one of those kids shouted at me, "Hey, you old fat man, get out of here." That is water off a duck's back, because I really don't care what a 5-year-old thinks of me, and they think everybody over 16 is old. How many of you would get upset if somebody, a 5-year-old, said that to you? It's a 5-year-old, right? It's like, all right, kid, We become bothered when someone that we either perceive to know something about us or who seems genuinely perceptive says something hard to us because we care about what they think. But ultimately, and this is so hard for us, me, all of us to get a hold of, ultimately, what God thinks matters more than anybody else. Now, we can put that in our heads, but until that migrates to here, that is a hard lesson. And so when someone says something that's critical to us, like, have you ever been driving and gotten unsupported help? Unasked for guidance. It can be called criticism, but we don't want to go there, right? And there's a part inside of you that says, if you think you can do it better, you sit here. That's not a helpful response, is it? It doesn't bring harmony to the family or happiness to the moment. We have to work through those feelings. In those moments, we feel like we're being told something about ourselves and we're having a hard time dealing with that feeling. And we need to start by inviting God into this because we have a hard time separating the idea from the person who just said it, don't we? Because they can be right as the day is long, but because of who said it and how they said it, I don't want to hear it. Are y'all with me or are you just sitting there? I know you hear me. I'm asking if you're with me. So, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, if you listen to, now what's the adjective there? Constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. The Bible's saying, look, if you were to stand back and look at this objectively, you understand that you don't do everything right. We don't do everything right, do we? We are not perfect. So we know this up front. It's just that we don't like to be told that we're not perfect. We don't like it pointed out that we're not perfect. So the person who's there to help us objectively, it would be a good thing if we could take what they're saying when it's good and implement it into our lives and grow and move forward. But somebody that we care about in some fashion said it in a way that we may not like. And so we have a hard time accepting it because they said it. Maybe if it was written down anonymously, we'd take it better, but probably not. And so the author of Proverbs says, look, you need to accept this because it takes you where you want to go. But honestly, if you're going to do that, you need to invite God in. And the time to do that is when you hear somebody criticizing you. It's to step back just a minute and say, you know what? I need to invite God in this moment because I cannot, under these circumstances, separate the thought from the person. I can't. And the only way I can begin to do that is if I invite God into that moment and God begins to speak to me. Because if God confirms to me what you've just said, I might be able to hear it better from God than you. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. This is really hard stuff. And then he says in Ecclesiastes, Solomon again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. Y'all know that's true, don't you? See, I'm not allowed to say this when my kids are around because it's a bad word, but there are some people that are just stupid. I'm not allowed to say stupid around my kids because it's a bad word. It's on the list. But they're not here, so I'm going to say it because I like saying it. Stupid. There are stupid people, aren't there? And there are moments when I've contributed to the population of being stupid. Is there anybody with me? No. Ushers, drag her to the altar. Yes. And so when someone stupid says something to us, we can dismiss it. Why? Because they're stupid. And that's what we say. They're just stupid. So we don't care if they praise us or criticize us. Why? Because they're stupid. It's horrible, isn't it? Doesn't mean we don't love them. They're just stupid. But he's saying the best of all worlds is when a wise person praises you. But you're not always going to get that, are you? There are times when wise people bring criticism, and it's better to be criticized by a wise person because they take you to more closely to where you want to be than a fool will. Now, so that's one biblical answer. Anger, denial, and depression don't take us where we want to. Listening does. Can. It's a step. But again, we're talking about constructive criticism from a wise person. So there's another biblical response to this, the second one. And this is taken from Judges chapter 8. And Gideon is Gideon's doing something I'm not sure I've ever gone to this level. There were some folks who were criticizing Gideon, and Gideon said, I don't think you see the whole picture, so let me explain to you the whole picture. And that's a biblical response. When somebody doesn't see the whole picture, let me explain to you the whole picture. So here's what he did. Then the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, why have you treated us this way? Why didn't you send for us when you first went out to fight the Midianites? So they're having a conversation with him, and they're like, you went out to battle and you didn't invite us. Why didn't you invite us? We weren't invited. I'm glad people don't transcript my conversations because I think we sound like two-year-olds a lot of times. And this is how they sound. You didn't invite us into your battle. How come? We wanted to fight with you. So here's how, and they argued heatedly with Gideon. But Gideon replied, let me explain to you the big picture, he says. And Gideon does more than this, because here's what Gideon does. I'm trying to think of a time in which I've actually done this. I'm not sure that I can think of a time. Gideon actually encourages the people who are criticizing him. So here's what he says. What have I accomplished? He said, compared to you. You're way better than we are. Aren't even the leftover grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan? God gave you victory over Orb and Zeb. What names those are. The commanders of the Midianite army. What have I accomplished compared to that? Look, my little army, we haven't done anything. You guys have a war chest full of trophies. Who are we compared to you? When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, what's it say? Yeah. Wow. He diffused their anger and criticism by encouraging them, by saying, here's the bigger picture. You're missing the bigger picture. Let me share with you what it is. And by the way, you're doing great. You're better than we are. And so there are times when if someone will listen and they have the ability to hear what you have to say, sharing with them the larger picture may, in fact, help the situation if you've been criticized. Here's the third thing. And I'm glad that Jesus did this because we might question the biblical relevance of this if Jesus hadn't done it. But the context of this scripture in Matthew is this. The Pharisees have been teaching the religious teachers of their day were teaching the people how to live. And they were giving them rules that were not only wrong, but were not helpful spiritually. And one of the rules was around washing, specifically washing their hands. Because they felt like you weren't clean, and it's true that you're not clean if you don't wash your hands, but the guidance was given about washing so that they might understand the spiritual principle of internal cleanliness. And it says, then Jesus called the crowd and said, listen, he said, and try and understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You're defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. In other words, it's not whether you wash your hands or what you put into you that makes your heart unclean. Your words reveal that your heart is not in the right place. You follow where we are so far? And then this is what he says. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you've offended the Pharisees by what you've said? They're criticizing you for what you've just said. Do you realize that this is what happened? And here's what Jesus said. Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted, so ignore them. Ignore. And by the way, he didn't say ignore what they said. What did he say? Ignore them. Ignore them. He's saying they are going in an opposite way from what God is telling you to do. And when someone is going in an opposite way from what God is telling you to do, what's the instruction? They're stupid. Ignore them. That's Andrew's version. Ignore them. Dismiss it. Let it go. But to do that, you must first invite God into the conversation and determine if what they're saying is counter to what God is saying. And that's a really hard piece to have. This is not a scripture to take home and say, honey, the preacher said clearly from Matthew chapter 15, ignore you! It's right there! Ignore her! So, when you yell at me in the car, I'm just going to ignore you. Because the response is going to be, you're already ignoring me. You didn't need the Bible to do that. She's going to send you right back to Proverbs chapter 15 that says a wise person will listen to constructive criticism. This is clearly about people who are trying to lead others away from God and saying stuff that had nothing to do with God. And there are times when that happens to us. There have been people who have said stuff to other people like, you are worthless. That is not the voice of God. Ignore it. There are people who have said, you will not amount to anything. That is not the voice of God. Ignore it. Throw it away. The real deal, however, is that because you and I have lived this way, we have accumulated quite a number of things that have gotten stuck inside of us that we've not dealt with. And as a result of that, we know this because when we go into a room where somebody who has spoken something that like that to us, we will often take the long way to the punch bowl instead of walk right past them because we do not want to deal with it. That's denial. That's what got us where we are. The way to get us out of it is to invite God into the middle of it. And so I can stand here and criticize y'all and give you something to deal with for practice, but I don't have to. Because somebody's already criticized you and it's sitting in there and you can deal with that for practice. And until you and I learn to train ourselves to deal with that, we will not deal with it different in real life situations. We will not. That's why Jesus took his disciples into the field and showed them how to do this. That's why. Because he had to teach them how to go to God and how to learn to respond in the midst of the stuff that they deal with. Because do you think Peter was the kind of person who was raised to do it right? Look at him, he was a mess. All of them. Jesus actually had a zealot in his bunch. A religious warrior. Do you think his first deal was to listen and respond to constructive criticism? No. No more than us. Now, the challenge for us is to be able to come to God and say, today, God, I need your help. What I'm doing is not working. And I've got stuff still stuck inside of me because what I've been doing is not working. And I need your help to get rid of it. And the first thing beyond that that we need to do, you and I, is we need to tell God, we really should do this every day. We need to tell God that we are not perfect. Because when you and I get in the habit of reminding God and ourselves that we're not perfect, then we're more open to God's Spirit saying, there's some place to grow here. You see, if our mission, if our goal is to love God and to love others, we need to stop the perfection thing and realize that we are going to live on grace for the rest of our lives. It doesn't mean we should sin. It means we should press into love and understand that perfection is probably not going to happen. Are y'all with me? See, here's what I know. I think that there will probably still be moments when my wife and I miscommunicate and I say something stupid until the day I die. And here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that I don't say something stupid on my deathbed and she says, "Is this what you meant?" And I go, "That's not what I," and then I'm gone. It's just over. Done. Grace is God in the middle of our weakness, helping us to do what we cannot. And when we admit that we are not perfect and we need God's grace, we open the door to God being able to do that. And when we tell Him that we need help, when we confess, "Lord, I'm not perfect and what they said may be right, but I can't sort it through. I am still stuck on the person instead of the idea. I need you to help me sort this out." And ask, "Is this what the Bible says? Is this what God would say?" And then we can work it through and then we can let it go. But we need to do that. And we have to start with what we have, understanding that someone is still going to shake the bushes on some days and we're still going to run. And we're going to look back and we're going to say, "The mission? What was the mission? What was the mission? Love God? Love..." "Oh, no. But I made it home safe." Let's pray. Lord, the more we know ourselves, the more we know that we need you. We are people who live moment to moment on your grace. And relationships are important to you, God. So help us to be generous toward those that bring difficult things into our lives. And we can do that by being open to you and in no other way. So starting today, we give you permission to step in when our emotions take over and to allow you to move us back to the place we need to be, to confess that we are not perfect, that we do not have it all together, that we make bad judgments and say wrong things, that we hurt others, and that what someone has said to us may very well be completely on target and something that we need to change in our lives. Help us to be open to all that, Father, and allow you to heal it and to bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.